Welcome to Faithful Echoes, the sermon podcast from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. New episodes are available every Monday, featuring the Collect of the Day, scripture readings, and Father Joel Hufstetler's insightful sermon from the previous Sunday. Perfect for catching up on missed sermons or revisiting favorites, find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and our website at www.stlukescleveland.org/podcast. Subscribe now for spiritual reflections that fit seamlessly into your week.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace, was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 133, found on page 787 of the Book of Common Prayer. We will read responsively by half verse. Oh, how good and pleasant it is. It is like fine oil upon the head,
and runs down upon the beard,
upon the beard of Aaron,
and runs down upon the collar of his robe.
It is like the dew of Hermon,
that falls upon the hills of Zion.
For there the Lord has ordained the blessing,
life forevermore.
A reading from the first letter of John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week,
And the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Did you know that on the first Sunday after Easter, in each year of our three-year lectionary series, that's our readings are a three-year series, the lectionary, but in each of our three-year lectionary series on this Sunday, first after Easter, we read this passage from St. John. Think about it. Every year, one week after we've proclaimed the absolute essence of the Christian faith, after we've been to the empty tomb, after we've declared and responded, "Alleluia, he is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, alleluia," we come hard upon the events that so surround the image of Thomas as a doubter, and thus come face to face with the idea and the concept of doubt. It's as though John wants to address this concern right up front. So what is this deal about doubt? Well, first let me tell you where I stand. I live with the understanding that doubt is not the opposite of faith, not at all. For me, doubt is an important part of my faith. Doubt keeps me, if you will, faithfully honest. And I'm not alone in these thoughts. They echo both Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Jewish theologian Eli Wiesel, who tell us that the opposite of faith is indifference. The opposite of faith is indifference, and that's quite different from doubt. Now, let's not leave this talk of doubt quite yet. Let's talk a little bit more about the place of doubt in our faith. Frederick Buechner writes, "Doubt is the ants in the pants of faith." Isn't that great? He goes on, "Doubt keeps faith awake and moving, whether your faith is that Jesus is the Son of God or that he is not. If you don't have any doubts," says Buechner, "you're either kidding yourself or you're asleep." You know, and even though Thomas has carried this name of doubter for the centuries, I think that such a title does him a disservice.
Thomas is not a doubter. Thomas is a true believer. He made that clear earlier in John's gospel when Jesus insists on going to Judea. It is Thomas who declares, "Let us go with him that we might die with him." It's Thomas who makes the first explicit acknowledgement that Jesus is God after the resurrection when he says, "My Lord and my God." This loyal believer who's given us the expression doubting Thomas deserves to be remembered better than this. He did not refuse to believe. He wanted to believe, but he did not dare without further evidence. Why did I think this way? Well, let's look at the situation. Now, the other disciples were all gathered together in one room. Where was Thomas? We don't know. Perhaps he is one who, rather than come together with in times of confusion and crisis, he preferred solitude. Maybe he is the one who felt that his grief was too raw, too personal to be shared with the others. Maybe he had decided to go out for a breath of fresh air, take a walk, do some thinking on his own, away from the noise and the speculation, the stories that the women told. Maybe he was simply scared to hold on to the hope that all of this might be real. But he wasn't with them. Yet he does come back to the group. He rejoins the group, even though he doesn't quite know what to make of it. He rejoins the group and is told of the visit from the risen Christ. But he cannot accept this at face value. Again, we'll never know why. We just accept his words. "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." He had to know for himself, had to appropriate, grab hold of the hope of resurrection for himself. Had to be his faith. He had been part of the original group, had known Jesus as a healer, a rabbi, a friend, and he wanted to see his friend once again. And even though Jesus never gave a sign to the Pharisees as they requested, other than the work he had done, Jesus comes to Thomas when he is again with the group and shows Thomas the marks of the nails and the wound in his side. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answers him, "My Lord and my God." Did you notice that we aren't told that Thomas did as he would have to just to believe? He said he would have to put his hands in the nail prints and in the side. It doesn't appear that Thomas touched the wounds of his risen Christ. No, Jesus' sign to Thomas did not create faith in Thomas. It merely released the faith that was already in him. And with that action, Thomas became the patron saint of all of us who believe and still want to see for ourselves. From all the disciples that we know about, those with whom we have read and studied, I think it's Thomas who has a special place in our hearts. Like Thomas, we want to believe, but there are still some of those troubling thoughts that float around and through our faith. We want the signs, don't we? We want the biggies, the angels, you know, all of that stuff. We, like Thomas, want to see for ourselves. However, the truth is that most of the time, we will receive something a bit more subtle. So subtle that we may miss it if we're not paying attention. But it is even more than simply paying attention. You see, we are Easter people, and we are to be living with the expectation of seeing the signs of Jesus with us, working in, around, and through us. It is that expectation that carries us even in those times of alienation and doubt. It is that expectation that brings us back together here each week. It is that expectation that allows us to see the face of Christ in the faces of our friends. Friends who hold our hands when we are in need of hand-holding. Friends who call at just the right time, offer just the right words, or more often than anything else, are simply present for us when anything more than presence would overwhelm us. And in that touch, in that prayer, in that presence, we see the one Thomas sees, the resurrected one, the one who overcame death, the one who heals all who are broken, the one who has known our sorrows and is with us in our sorrows, the one who walks with us every step of the way to the cross and the tomb and then back again. Jesus comes to show us that he is the one who transforms our wounds into new life. He comes to lift us up so that we may show forth in our lives and in our very hands that which we profess with our words. He comes to us so that we might join with Thomas in proclaiming, "My Lord and my God," and so that we might believe and have life, true life, abundant life, in Christ's name, and so that we might feel Christ's breath on us as Christ did on the 11 and be filled with God's shalom, God's peace, the very spirit and breath of God. All so that we might know that Christ is risen and will appear to us even in the midst of things we cannot and will not ever understand. And in that coming to us, Christ greets us in the same way that he greeted Thomas, with the same love and the same concern. Peace be with you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Hold him in your hands, this Thomas. Feel his breath on you, this Christ. It is the spirit breath of God. And then be sent into the world so that others might see him. All of us are being sent out to show our hands, the wounds that we all carry, the wounds that are healed by the one who was wounded for us, all so that others might learn and know as Thomas knows him, so others will know him as we know him, our Lord and our God. Amen.